produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, greetings to you, beloveds. Such a wonderful day today, and as always, such a great pleasure to be able to share the Word of God, which is life-transforming, which directs us. His Word is like a lamp unto our feet, and it directs us, and we especially need His Word in these challenging times. Many of us in different nations facing what has been referred to as a global pandemic. We definitely need the Word of God to lead and to guide us in this season. And today I want to talk about the subject of consecration. Consecration. It's not something that's widely discussed. It's not a topic that many pastors preach about anymore. Many of us, you know, many people have been talking and preaching about prosperity, about money, about material possessions, about things, but we don't often hear messages that have to do with consecration, that have to do with living righteously or living a holy life. And so today I want to deal with the aspect of consecration. And if one does an etymology of the word consecration, which comes from the Latin word consecrat, and also the verb, the Latin verb consecrare, you will know that the word consecration means dedicated and to be devoted, when something or someone is devoted as sacred. So consecration has to do with someone, something that's dedicated, been set apart. And when we talk about consecration, we're talking about where you are consciously surrendering everything that you are and everything that you have to God as a living sacrifice to Him. So when we speak about consecration, we're talking about when an individual consciously surrenders everything they are, everything you are, everything I am, and everything we have to God as a living sacrifice. And every saint is called to live a life of consecration. I think there's a misconception out there that maybe only people who are so-called called into the ministry are to live a consecrated life. Well, the first breaking news is that all of us are called into the ministry. Not all are called in to be fivefold ministry ascension gifts, but we are all called into the ministry, to the ministry of reconciling others to Yeshua HaMashiach, into the ministry of evangelism, into the ministry of going out there to disciple nations. All of us are called into that ministry. And so therefore, all of us are called to live a life of total consecration to God. So this is not just something that is for just a select few or, few special people, but it is for every person. And this is the ordinary, normal kingdom life for every individual, every individual. I want to kickstart our discussion and sharing and teaching with a scripture, and that's from Romans 12. Verses 1 to 2, which is a very good scripture that, you know, calls us into that life of consecration. And the scripture reads as follows. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And then it continues in verse 2 to say, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So if you read the two scriptures together, many times we read Romans 12 verses 2, which admonishes us not to conform to the world, to the standards, to the principles of the world, but that we must be transformed. We're not to be world conformists, but we are to be kingdom transformers. And we will be transformed through and by the renewal of our mind. And then we can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But before it even says, be not conformed to this world, verse 1 calls us into that life of consecration. And it says that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So we're called into this life of consecration to be set apart, to be set, you know, apart and consecrated and sanctified. And it is only when you are set apart and sanctified and consecrated that you will be able to live that life of not conforming to the world, that you will be able to be transformed to the kingdom, into the kingdom principles and the kingdom protocols and the kingdom standards. So this is a very powerful scripture that really speaks to us about consecration, about being set apart, about living a life, a sacrificial life, and presenting ourselves and our bodies as living sacrifices that are holy and acceptable unto God. So consecration has to do with a conscious decision. We have to make a conscious decision to be consecrated. And consecration also has to do with counting the costs. When we step into that life of consecration, we do so laying down everything, laying down everything and making sure that we are called, we know that we are called and set apart unto him. Another thing about consecration that we must understand is that consecration is also about sacrifice and denial. Sacrifice and denial. I think one of the misnomers or misconceptions that we sometimes have is that, you know, once we enter into a relationship with Yeshua and we receive Yeshua as our Lord and Savior, that is just going to be sort of life is just going to be fish and chips and everything's just going to be hunky-dory and smooth sailing. But we need to understand that the word actually guarantees that we will have trials, we will have tribulations, and it guarantees that those trials and tribulations are actually to grow us, are actually to strengthen us, are actually to make our character. There's no way that the Lord would allow for us to never go through trials and tribulations, because it is those trials and tribulations that actually strengthen us and actually build our character. But along with the guarantee that we will have those trials and tribulations comes also the guarantee that when we are in Yeshua, when we obey his word, when we are directed by him, we will overcome every single one of those trials and tribulations. So we have that guarantee. And again, still talking about the life of a believer, it's not all fish and chips, but it's also about sacrifice and denial and consecration. We cannot talk about consecration without talking about that life that a believer is called into, a life which is also about sacrifice and denial. And I want to read Psalms 50, verse 5, which says the following. It says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." So here we see and understand that our relationship with Yeshua, our relationship with God, is a covenantal one. And it's a covenantal one that is made with God by sacrifice. So that means that as we enter into relationship with God, we must count the cost. As we want to, you know, become disciples, because we first are converted, but our life does not end with just mere conversion, but we move on from conversion to be followers and imitators of Yeshua and to eventually be disciples of Yeshua, who can now answer the call. And as we progress, make that progression towards being his disciples after conversion, we must know that we must count the cost and make a rational decision in accepting his lordship, not just only accepting him as savior when it's convenient for us and calling upon his name to save us in times of need or in times of desperation, but accepting him also as Lord over everything, handing over everything to him, our finances, our marriages, our relationships, our whatever material possessions he's given, the ministries that we've been given to steward. We must hand those over and count the cost and make a rational decision to accept him as Lord, regardless of whatever situation we face. It may be, you know, facing health issues, facing death, facing certain kinds of difficulties, we still must be able to count the cost and make that purposeful, intentional, and rational decision to accept his lordship at all times. So consecration is about being set apart. It's about, living a life of sacrifice to God. It's about sacrifice and denial. It's about also, you know, making a rational decision to accept the lordship of Yeshua. Still talking about consecration, I want to read Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. And it reads as follows. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So again, we see the aspect of having to count the cost, of having to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Yeshua. That's what Yeshua said to his disciples, that listen, this is not just an easy peasy life. This is not just a life of just selfishness where we just pursue our own selfish gain, but this is a life of sacrifice. It's a life of denial where we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Yeshua. And in this era and dispensation that we're in, where people really want to pursue the easy life, the microwave life, where we want everything very quickly, we want to live just lives of pleasure, lives of so-called pleasure and worldliness, it's not easy to find people who are really ready to purposefully and intentionally decide to follow after Yeshua, deny ourselves and take up that cross and follow him. And so consecration is about all those things, not pursuing the world, not pursuing worldly benefits and worldly protocols and agenda and worldly pleasures, but being prepared to make sure that we pursue the kingdom, we pursue Yeshua, we follow after him. And we, in following after him, it will require that we deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him. So when we do, know that when we are consecrated to Yeshua, whatever he calls us to, we will be able to fulfill that assignment, fulfill that purpose. We will be able to go the distance. Many people who burn out, who cannot last the distance, burn out because they've not, their lives, their personhood has not been consecrated to Yeshua. So if you want to last the distance, if you want to go the whole way, if we want to be able to run our race, our course, and finish our course and be able to say at the end of it all, I've run my race, we need to ensure that we consecrate our lives to Yeshua. Hallelujah. And consecration really is based on the understanding that God owns us. We belong to God. And we must know that we are consecrated to him. We are consecrated to him, and we're consecrated to him because he is our creator. He created us, and he created us in his image. Genesis 1:26-28, when God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he him. So we are consecrated unto God, and he is the one who created us. And not only that, he is the one who redeemed us. He redeemed us by the precious blood of Yeshua. We have been bought with a price, and we have been redeemed by God. And we must be consecrated to him, for we've been bought with a price, and we must glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God. That's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Hallelujah. Consecration. When we are talking about total consecration, it means dying to self. Dying to self. You cannot be totally consecrated to God when you're full of self, when you're full of selfishness, when it's all about you. And again, when we examine the way we live in these days, in this dispensation, we find that in the body of Christ, there's so much selfishness. People are pursuing their own agenda. It's all about branding themselves. It's all about making themselves known, making themselves famous, putting themselves out there, not putting Yeshua out there. And so total consecration means dying to self, understanding that we're not called to brand ourselves, but to be ambassadors of Yeshua, which means our calling is to brand Yeshua. So total consecration to God means dying to self and not living for self, not living to achieve our personal ambition. And this is what many of us are pursuing in this life, is pursuing personal ambition. So many of the things we do, many times we don't get on TV, you know, so that we can teach and train and equip people, but we want to be seen on TV so that we can become celebrities and superstars. So it's with a wrong agenda that we go on TV. It's with a wrong agenda sometimes that we write books. It's not to teach and train and equip the saints, but so that we can see our faces, have our faces and our names on books. And again, pursuing fame and pursuing influence, pursuing all that. So we have to be very careful that we don't pursue those personal fleshly ambitions under the pretense that we are fulfilling purpose. We must be careful of pursuing secular, humanistic, and worldly principles, pursuing secular, humanistic, and worldly things, and make sure that we don't become part of that falling away, people who are not living for God and not pursuing his vision, but rather pursuing personal ambition and personal preference, trying to be famous. Total consecration can never happen unless we die to self and we die to selfish ambitions and we pursue the greater purpose of God. Death to self must happen if we are to be totally consecrated, totally consecrated. How do we know that we have been consecrated? Well, let's go through a consecration test and see how can we tell that actually we have been consecrated unto him. Well, first and foremost, when you've been consecrated to God, then your worldview will totally change. The lens through which you view things will be totally changed. Your prayer life will even change. You know, you don't pray a certain type of way. You're not just going to be praying what I call shopping list prayers or grocery list prayers around, God, give me this, God, give me that. Your prayer life will change because your worldview has changed. You're praying for the redemption of people. You're praying for salvation for people. You're praying for nations to be aligned to their redemptive purpose. You're praying for righteous leaders to begin to arise. That's how you begin to pray. That's how, and and when you will know that actually you have been consecrated unto God, because you see things from a different perspective. You see things from a God perspective. You are able to pursue God according to and in line with Matthew 6:33. Seek first, not last, not as a middle, but seek first the kingdom of God. Pursue the King of Kings and his dominion and his domain first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all whatever it is that you need will be added unto you. So the first sign of having been consecrated is that we see things differently. We see things not from a selfish perspective, not from a personal ambition perspective, but from a God perspective. The second sign that we've been consecrated is that we think eternity. We think of eternity. So we're not just thinking of immediate self-gratification, but whatever we do is guided by eternity. Our thoughts and our words and our actions are reflecting an eternal perspective rather than a temporal self-gratifying perspective. So we're focused on eternity. We do those things that will impact on eternity. It's not just about temporal possessions, just thinking about the cars and the houses and the clothes. All those have to do with temporary perspective. But things like salvation, teaching and training and equipping the people of God, going to disciple nations, all those things impact on eternity. When we start focusing on those things, we know that we've been consecrated unto God. And again, another sign of having been consecrated unto God is that we always want to please God. It's not just about pleasing ourselves. It's not just about pleasing the flesh. So we're able to deny the flesh. We're able to crucify the flesh, and we're able to please God, not entertaining sexual immorality, not entertaining selfish and selfish desires and just material wants, but we're able to serve other people. We're able to give to other people because we've been consecrated unto God. So another sign of having been consecrated is that you want to please God in all things, and you want to know the will of God in everything that we do, and also fulfill, not just know the will of God, but to fulfill the will of God in all things. You always want to be centered in the will of God, doing what pleases him, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And another sign of being consecrated unto him is that you trust God. I love Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. When I first got saved, that was one of the first scriptures I memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So when you know you've been consecrated unto him, you trust him at all times, even when you may not understand what it is that you're going through. You're able to trust him because you've been consecrated unto him. Consecrated unto him. So you're able to trust him with your heart. You're able to trust him with your future. You're able to trust him with your marriage. You're able to trust him with your children. You're able to trust him with your relationships. You're able to trust him with whatever possessions you've been given, because you've been consecrated unto him. And when you've been consecrated, you know again that you've been consecrated unto him, because you're not afraid of anything. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. You're not afraid of anything because you know whom you believe. So there's no fear concerning anything. And right now, in these times of COVID, there's so much fear out there. Fear of death, fear of contracting disease and virus, fear health related fears, fear of job, losing your job, fear of losing your business, fear of financial insecurity. There's so many fears out there. But you know, when you've been consecrated unto God, you're not afraid of anything, because you know in whom you trust and in whom you believe. And again, another sign of having been consecrated unto God is that, you know, the promises of God, you see the promises of God manifest in your life and get fulfilled. And that is another sign that, you know that you're living a consecrated life unto God. And as I've said before, your prayer life changes from self-centered prayers to prayers which have to do with the kingdom, expanding the kingdom and bringing God's kingdom expansion and making sure that nations, people are equipped and nations are aligned to their redemptive purpose. Hallelujah. So those are signs of having been consecrated unto God. You live for the kingdom, regardless of whatever tests or trials that you may go through. You are focused on living for the kingdom, on living for God, even in the face of tests, even in the face of adversity, because you know in whom you believe, in whom you believe. So that's the consecration test. And I urge you to just take the consecration test yourself. Ask yourself those questions. Are you seeing things differently? Do you see things from a God perspective? Are you fixed on eternity? Are your thoughts, words, and actions reflected on eternity and on the eternal, rather on the temporary perspective? Do you want to please God in all things? Do you know and do the will of God in all things? And do you trust God with everything that you have concerning whatever you have, your future, your life? And are you walking a fearless life? The only fear that you and I should have is the fear of God, which is not the normal type of fear, but it is around having reverence of God. And has your prayer life changed? Are you praying for kingdom things rather than selfish things? And are the promises of God being fulfilled in your life? Are you living for the kingdom? Ask yourself those questions as we begin to pursue the consecrated life. And so I want to encourage you to live that life of consecration, even in this time, even in this season, even in this challenging times. Pursue a consecrated life, a life that has been set apart. It's about a lifestyle, living a lifestyle that is consecrated unto God and not living a selfish, ambitious life, hallelujah, but living that consecrated life unto God. Be encouraged and be inspired to live that consecrated life, knowing that this is our reasonable service and this is the requirement of us as sons of God, as those who have an intimate relationship with God and live in covenant with Him. God richly bless you. I pray that this session and this teaching has ministered to you and has inspired you and has encouraged you to live and pursue a consecrated life and lifestyle unto God. I love you with the love of the Lord and look forward to next time. Bye-bye and have a fruitful and productive week.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Jimmy Cotton Ministries Radio Network is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo, bringing you from Western Australia with our co-producer, Kayla Padgett. Trek with us as we get into what God has given us. Watch this.
Him, because what oftentimes there is this baggage that then follows us, and allow me to use that language in the purposes of understanding where we're going. God did not call Abraham and Lot. God called Abraham, and Lot followed as a nephew. You are with me, right? So in this, I wanted to picture yourself that every time in your life, when there is a calling of God over your life, when there is purpose over your life, when there is destiny over your life, what tends to happen is the undesirables that are almost attached to your calling, there is a strife there. Listen to what verse 7 says. Verse 7 opens up by saying, there was strife between the headsmen of Abraham's cattle and the headsmen of Lot's cattle. This is now after they've gone out. So there is a strife. So that is why I was saying to you, you know your it. If you can give it up, you can have it all. The call of God was very clear. The call of God over Abraham's life was direct. The call of God over Abraham's life It was not blurry. It was so direct that God told him, get out and go where I'm calling you to go to. Lot comes alongside, but along the journey, along the way, strife happens. And I'm sure you agree with me. You said yes to Jesus. You are now a Christian. You are a child of God. You belong to God. But the truth is, all of us, we are on our individual journeys and we know where we are going to. It's important that we know where we are going to, because purpose is very important in these things. Where are you focused as you are living your life daily? Now, by the circumstances of life, you find yourself in this place, but that has not lost your focus. I believe, for me, when I see you in this house, it is not a place for permanent staying. It is a place that helps you to plan again, reorganize, regroup, and organize your energies to make sure that you can go again or give it another big shot in the direction that which God has called you to do. Because all of us here, as we are here, I believe you understand you are called by God. Mm-hmm. Say that with me. I am called by God. Say like you believe it. Come on. Say, I'm called by God. It's important that you get that. Get that in your spirit. Let it be the thing that makes you to wake up in the morning. Let it be the thing that gives you motivation. That as you continue to wake up every day and you are in the same environment, that can be very tiring, draining, and can make you feel very, very edgy, right? Because same house, same guys, same routines, that can really throw you off. But I want the purpose of God over your life to be the one that pushes you to keep on saying, I know I can do this. I know I can do this. I know I can do this. Because your purpose is greater than the pleasurables of the world. Sometimes we get tempted when we are texting some of our friends out there, or when we go out there and we see, and they're like, oh yeah, we are, life is happening, man. This and this is happening, this and this is happening. And you lose your focus. I don't know what is your it. It could be a behavior. It could be a choice. It could be an attitude. Whatever it is, if you can give it up, you can have it all. For Abraham, it was a lot issue. And he knew that as long as I continue to work with Lot in my life, I'm going to have a problem. And this is a very powerful analogy and metaphor that speaks to my spirit nature and my fleshly nature. You are born again, but the truth is, your flesh nature is always with you. You are a child of God, you read the Bible, you can fast, you can pray, but the truth is, the flesh nature is still there within you. So we call it the old nature versus the new nature. So in your life, as a child of the living God, thank you so much. As a man of God, as men of God, as you are here right now, I just wanted to look at that in your life. What is this thing? What is this nature in me? What is this attitude in my life? What is this behavior that oftentimes comes upon me? And that when it comes upon me, I lose my focus. For Abraham, it was a Lot issue. Lot was there every time until he had to make up a decision to make sure that he had to continue his life without Lot. What is your Lot? What is it in your life? If you can give it up, I believe you can have it all. You have come all the way in life. You haven't finished where you are going. And I do believe when I look at you, some of you, I can tell that there is greatness that is trapped in there. Pastor Mara was talking about Corey. And I do believe there is more that is in you. The uniqueness of who you are as an individual. It's important that carries you through to what God has assigned you for. There is a calling of our lives, and that calling is setting us on a journey. And on the journey of life, there'll be strife. Sometimes it's a strife with an attitude thing in me. Sometimes it'll be strife with an anger issue in me. Sometimes it'll be strife dealing with the demons of my own family coming back home. Sometimes it'll be strife with generational issues that keep on tripping me along the way. Sometimes it'll be strife against the addictive behavior that I am trying to overcome as a man. What is your Lot? We all have a Lot issue. Trust me. But until you tell yourself, the purpose of God over my life is greater than my comfort, you will not change. So
Say that again.
The purpose of God over my life is greater than my comfort. or keeping things comfortable around me. And I want to just therefore just to push in and encourage us, because when I read this verse and I realize that this strife gave something purposeful, and it's true, when you come to think of it, I do not know what brought you here. For some of us, it would have been a strife between us and our loved ones, between us and our parents, between us and our father, between us and our girlfriends, whatever. I don't know what brought you here. I don't know why you are in this house, but you know you're it. But here's the thing. There is a positive side. I wanted to look at this conflict. Sometimes that conflict happened so that we can be here. Do you make sense?
Yeah.
That conflict, whatever happened, that made you finding yourself here and depending on Centrelink. Sometimes God does that so that you can catch up with yourself. For sometimes we get carried away. Life is happening. I often drive Uber, right? When I go to the city on Fridays, chock-a-block, it's packed. In this weather, you think, you see people all dressed all sorts, and I'm thinking, you are feeling this cold? Packed 2 a.m. Why? Because when there is no purpose and focus with your life, everything goes. There's a sense of I'm left out. I'm being left out. I want to go and have fun. But sometimes you need to make an Abrahamic move, an Abrahamic decision. It says, nah, man, I think my issue is this lot that I have here. I think let me deal with this behavior. Let me deal with this attitude, because it's not happening. It's like I'm kicking against the wall every time when I'm trying to move forward. Let me face this thing for what it is. Because I notice my life. Every time after I'm drunk, there's going to be a fight. Every time when I go into drugs, there's going to be one problem after the other. Every time this happens, police are after me. Every time I do this, I find myself in with criminal charges. What is it? What is your it? Is it a behavior? Is it an attitude? Is it an emotion that you have left too long? And sometimes it becomes a protecting blanket over our lives. There are people now who enjoy just to be vicious. And not because they want to, it's a protection. We delivered a young man 2 days ago, and he ended up surrendering his knife on my table. And he says, now I get it, when I go and catch my life. And I asked him, what was that knife for? Protection. Sometimes life brings you to a place where you'll be filled with all different kinds of paranoia. Live your life as if everybody is after you. You know what I'm talking about, boys. You live your life as if everyone is chasing you. But God called you. There is a purpose in you. Let's extract that from you. Take this moment whilst you are here and say, you know what? I want to build the best of that which God has of me. When you go and look in your mirror, and when you look at yourself, you may not like what you see. You may see the shredded parts and the broken parts. Doesn't matter. But the truth is, if I am created in the image of God, what I see in that mirror is not going to be my end. I will be in the image of the one who created me. Am I talking? So it's important that we get that. I just wanted to say to us, let's push through the conflict, the issue, the problem, the division, the fight you had with whoever you had a fight with has brought you here. Oh, now guns down. Now, where are you going with your life? So live your life not in the comfort of everything that is happening here. Always have that purpose. Don't wait for Pastor Matt to tell you the incentives of what you can do. Be the first one to rise up. I established that in my life when I realized that I was losing direction. I did not wait for the guys that were my teachers and my mentors to tell me what to do. I wanted to wake up all the time, first thing before I'm told what's going to happen today. Because there is purpose in me. So I can wake up myself, find me ready. Because I want to make sure my life gets that purpose and that oomph again. Guys, I wanted to be encouraged by that. The conflict that is would have happened in his life. Now it says here, when Lot and Abraham are parting away, there are a few things that I just feel are very important for us to get. And I wanted to see this one. It is in verse 10. Lot looked and saw that everywhere the Jordan Valley was well watered. You get that? Verse 10? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Jordan Valley was well watered. The Jordan Valley was well watered. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it was all like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zohar. You see, the writer wanted to understand, as he describes, that we are now faced with two choices. There's a choice that needs to be made by these two families. And as the part might be pain involved when you part with the things that you love. I always say, it's easy for you to say to me, cut off the smoking. I don't like smoking. But is it easy if you say to me, cut off your girlfriends? Because I love the girlfriends. You understand what I'm trying to say? That sometimes it's easier to say to a person, cut off that habit, if you don't like it anyway. But if I say cut off the thing that you like, that's where the pain is. Sometimes it is important to get the temporal pain with a long-term gain. You are looking at the bigger picture where you're going to. I'm okay for me to suffer now for these 12 months, for these 18 months. I don't know what you signed up for, but don't resist the temptation of giving up and stay in the game and tell yourself, I'm going to stand as a man of my convictions. Because all my life, there is a routine that happens around my life. It's like what I touch, I don't hold it on to the end. I give up. I give up on the way with my girlfriend. I give up on the way with my child. I give up on the way with my job. I don't stay in a job even more than 3 months. So now you are here. If you're not careful, that behavior is not cut from your life. You won't last the 3 months. Because once 3 months happens, you become edgy. You feel like you want to go. But are you ready? Are you ready to go back to the world? Are you ready to go and face up those things? And quite often, painfully, some of the guys, as you know, they end up becoming worse, end up cursing God. This thing doesn't work. The rehabs doesn't work. No. You are the one. What is your lot that you need to cut yourself away from? Do I make sense? Listen to this. It says here, Lot chose the Jordan Valley. He opened up his eyes. He chose the well-watered Jordan Valley, which was like the garden of the Lord, the Bible says. Which means Abraham was left with an arid, desert-like Canaan. Sometimes in life, you teach yourself, I will let go of the dancing and the jiving in the nightclubs. I will let go of the drugs behavior. I will let go of that temporary pleasure that it gives me. I will let go because my life is bigger than meth. My life is bigger than alcohol. Boys, let's talk. My life is bigger than what the temporal pleasure that I'm getting right now. The well-watered Jordan was more desirable. It was a good land. It was green, lush pastures versus what Abraham had. But sometimes it looks like Abraham is a loser. Now I'm talking about the Abraham in you, because the Abraham in you is your spirit part in you. The flesh part in you, which is the Lord, desires, but I must have it. But I must get, oh, it's unfair. I need my fun. I need my pleasure. I need to get this because it's good for me. But really? Sometimes when you choose an Abrahamic move, you are saying, yeah, it's arduous, it's hard, it's draining, it's painful. But I know that at the end, I'm going to laugh one day. I want you to look at your life that way. One day, I will laugh. One day, I will smile and say, I thank God I did not give up. I love that. It seems to me, if I'm going to put it this way, Lot opened up his eyes. His eyes chose the lush greens, the desirable, the comfortable, the pretty, the elegant. And Abraham, God chose for him. Oh, allow me to put it this way. Lot opened up his eyes and he saw what he saw with his eyes. But Abraham closed his eyes without knowing what he was choosing. Canaan was not as beautiful. Canaan was a desert. Canaan was arid. Canaan, nothing much was growing there. If you've been to Israel, you know what I'm talking about. There was nothing much there that was coming up there. It looked like there was nothing in Abram's choice. Lot opened up his eyes. Question, what are you opening up your eyes to? That when you look at, it sounds like beautiful, pretty, pleasurable, lovable, desirable to your flesh. Sometimes it takes me closing my eyes. No, not that life again. No, not that behavior again. No, I'm not going the old way again. Abraham took what was not chosen by Lot. Lot chose with his eyes. Allow me therefore to say, maybe. That's why Abraham is called the father of faith. Abraham chose by faith. That sometimes in my life, I have chosen things, the pathways. In my family, we're 10 of us children. All my brothers, the aspirations, when my daddy would sit us down as a family and would ask us what we're going to be, you would hear others, lawyers, doctors, teachers, lawyers, doctors, teachers, nurses, and all that. And when they came to me and I said, I believe I've got a call of God over my life. That time when I said it, as a 15-year-old boy, all my brothers and sisters were laughing at me. I could have changed. I would have. When I come now to think of it, I'm thinking, gee gosh, had I been so much moved and allowed their opinions of me and what my choices were at that time, I think I would have missed my calling. Sometimes it looks like that. They chose all these careers, but the irony of it now is I do take care of all of them when I'm here. That's the paradox of life. When you come to think of it, you think, God, you're amazing. When I chose it then, all 9 of them were laughing, giggling. Pastor or preacher. That time. You understand what I'm talking about? That time. You're going to be a priest? You go to school, daddy's taking us to school, and you're going to be a priest? You know? And you know, there's always been a stigma, right from long time ago. Hey, priest, you live by the offerings of the church? Right? They got educated, they got their degrees, but every month I send money to go to Zimbabwe. Why? Because sometimes what we choose for ourselves, we don't realize where it ends. But the walk with God is good like that. You know, when we say, let's close our eyes to pray, that's not a religious rhetoric. It is because when I'm closing my eyes, I'm trying to shut off distractions around me. Lot looked at the Jordan Valley, well-watered, lushed and green. He made his choice based on what he saw. And the truth is, we all are here today because at some point in our life, we saw the desirable, we saw the pretty, we saw the elegant, we saw what was in fashion, we saw what was happening then, and we got carried away. You ask certain people and ask them, were you introduced to drugs, or how were you introduced to alcohol or peer pressure? Most of my friends, and then everybody was cool. And then I see them when they're drinking, and I'm thinking, I can't be drinking a Coke. And then I thought, you know, that's bizarre. I want to fit in. So you fit it in. What did you get? Miserable. Because Lot looks with the eyes of the flesh, but Abraham looked with the eyes of faith. By faith, I want to speak to the destiny that is in you. It's fluidy for some of you. It's not clear yet what you want to become. If I were to ask you right now, probably you say to me, I don't even know what's going to happen with my life, but it doesn't matter. Here's what I want you to realize. Allow it to grow in you. Let it grow. When there is a program to be attended to, when there's prayers that need to be done, when there is a service to be attended to, when there is service to be done, do it with all your heart. Abraham chose the arid. It was the dry, it was the wasteland, it was the dusty plains of Canaan there was nothing much there. But underneath that soil there of Canaan, there was oil that we are still fighting for today. You are hearing me? So don't judge it by the looks. Not always what is applicable or that is admirable from the outside you should go with. I'm sure, boys, you have dated girls, you know now that. Sometimes they come all in all ways, dressed no Coca-Cola bottle figure. You look at that and say, oh, that's mine right there. Until you stay together. Huh? And you realize, what did I put myself into? What is your it? You know it well. Whatever it is, silently trying to destroy the destiny of God in you. Make an Abrahamic move today. And I want to pray with you on this note. And my prayer will be very, very simple, because it is a verse that I want us to see what God says to Abraham. It says here, verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had left him. Do you see it? Verse 14. Do you get that? When did the Lord speak to Abraham? After Lot had left him. Do you want to hear the voice of God for your life?
Yeah.
Get rid of that behavior. Get rid of that attitude. I know it has protected you. It has worked for the rest of your life. It's all you have, because you've been bullied, you've been rejected, and therefore you're trying to protect rejection by using this attitude. But you know that no. It doesn't work. Put your defenses down. Let Lot go. When Lot leaves, then God speaks. Make sense? So I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, who is my Lord? Who is the one that is in me that seems to be controlling everything that I'm doing every day? What makes me not to move forward? I do 2 steps forward, 3 steps backwards. Every time, 5 steps forward, find myself 10 steps backwards. What's going on with my life? Why am I in this cycle? Why am I going around in circles? After Lot left, then God spoke. I want to be a conduit that attracts the voice of God. But the voice of God will not speak to you, because God does not want to be in competition with other voices. There are many voices right now. Some saying give up. Some saying this is all crap. Some saying I don't like to be here. Some saying, oh, go east, over east. There are many voices that are talking to you. But if you look at this place and say, this is my station where I can begin to build my vision from the ground, to become the husband my wife has never dreamed about, or to become the father that I've always desired to be, to become the man different from what I saw, where I'm coming from, I can be all that. God speaks when our Lord leaves.
Amen. Thank you once again. This was Shimi Kotu Ministries Radio Network International with our co-producer, Kela Paget, bringing you a weekly program, Empowered for Destiny. This was the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia. Have a fantastic week and see you next week.
Produced by Kela Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.